Welcome to Marketplace Kingdom, the podcast from Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. Our ongoing purpose is to bring you biblical perspectives and practical strategies for advancing the kingdom of God right where you are. We're committed to presenting thought-provoking conversation and encouragement by bringing you guests who share their own stories and insights on being authentically Christian and demonstrating Christ's love and lordship in their own professional and personal spheres of influence. We want to share ideas that you can use to bring Christ's redeeming and transforming power to your world in your day-to-day lives. I'm DJ Swanger, and my co-host is Pastor Dave Huizinga. Whether you're with us here in the U.S. or listening to the podcast anywhere around the world, we're glad you're with us. To begin today, we want to share a quick update. In the last 30 days, Marketplace Kingdom's audio and written materials have reached over 1,400 influencers. Here in the U.S., in Ireland, China, Russia, Ghana, Somalia, Iraq, Canada, France, Germany, Ukraine, and Sierra Leone. Folks have checked in and used our materials. They've downloaded and they're spreading them out to their spheres of influence. Dave, what do you think about that?
What I think is happening is the hunger for an advancing church is real. I think we knew that, Don. We started to become hungry, right?
Yeah.
For the kingdom of God to advance and for the church or believers in Jesus to be mobilized. And so we jumped in and we began to do our work. And I am grateful that these numbers affirm that there are thousands and thousands of hungry people out there sitting, waiting, looking to be led so they can be mobilized out in their spheres of influence. So it's just affirmation. I'm praising God for it.
And I should add, we've mentioned this before on the podcast, but I should add that we also know that there are folks in a number of closed countries, in a number of countries that are nominally open, but have regions that are dangerous for Christians. We have folks in those areas who are getting their hands on our material and our podcasts in other ways, through what are called virtual servers, VPNs, hand-to-hand, passing along the podcast recordings on thumb drives. We get the reports. There's no way to track and nail down hard numbers on that stuff. But we have a ministry partner who has, for the last 10 days, been in China, working with churches and businesses in China. We have folks in two different regions of India working right now. We have folks in the Middle East, in three countries in the Middle East, that are utilizing this material, downloading it, adapting it to their contexts, and utilizing it. So we're excited about that aspect of this ministry's outreach. Even though, as a friend of ours says, we are planting seed that we'll never see.
Right, right.
And I guess that's one of the exciting pieces about a movement versus a brand. You get to plant seed and release it and let it kind of go and do what it's going to do.
Amen. I would love to hear you talk about movement versus brand. Give us an understanding of what that means.
Well, one of our friends in India was talking about this, and an observation he made was that you can build a brand or you can build a movement, a people movement, but you're probably not going to be able to do both. A brand means recognizable, reproducible, almost like a franchise. everything ends up looking much the same, having your stamp on it. A movement takes hold.
Yes.
And it becomes a growing tribe. The kingdom of God is about a movement. And the thing about a movement is if you give yourself to that, then you're probably never going to be famous for your brand. And that's fine. It's like John the Baptist said when he was doing his ministry, I must decrease that he might increase. And movement people are about equipping and releasing, equipping and releasing. They're not even so much about leaders. We here in the U.S. are so fixated on leadership that there are whole sections in our bookstores devoted to leadership principles and leadership development and the next hot concept of how to build and grow and exercise leadership from the latest up-and-coming leadership guru. And the kingdom has an upside-down version of leadership that says, he who is to be greatest among you will be the servant of all. It's about giving yourself away. And so we tend to talk on this podcast as much about influencers as we do about leaders. Because lots of people may throw up their hands and go, I'm not a leader. That's not me. I'm not wired that way. But you are an influencer. Because wherever you are rubbing up against people. And the Spirit of God in you is rubbing up against people.
Amen.
And in the process of that, you're exerting influence.
Amen.
And so we're in the process of raising up influencers to equip and release influencers.
Yes. There are millions of influencers out there, and there's a limited, however, number of leaders with a brand. In the United States, we have seen the church do a good job on training people to come and sit and receive and give money and then go out into their jobs and into their worlds doing their normal thing. And we've identified Christianity as an act of just sitting in worship at a church. But that doesn't make for good influencers. That makes for a mass amount of people sitting, watching just the few. And the few become the leaders. But what we're finding is that people are ready to go out and influence rather than wait for their brand leaders to give them the charge. Because Jesus, our Lord, has already given the mass of people the charge. He says it to us in Mark chapter 16:15. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means that if every creature is going to experience the gospel, it's the mass of people that needs to go out and influence. And Don, I would be interested in hearing, how would you say that a normal Christian person with the Holy Spirit in them, how is their influence a preaching of the gospel?
Well, there's the obvious sharing of the message of Christ. But the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel that John the Baptist preached, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. The same gospel that Jesus preached, that the apostles preached. It wasn't the good news that Jesus came to die for our sins so that we don't have to go to hell. That's part of it. That's a very important part of it. But that's not where it leaves off. It's the good news that Jesus is Lord of all, of every aspect. And he wants to bring his transforming power to bear in our world, in every aspect of life, in such a way that it's transformed. It's changed. The message of the gospel that John and Jesus preached, repent, turn around, change direction, because God's reign is coming. It's at hand. It's right here. You can reach out and touch it. It's interesting to me, that passage that you quoted, Mark 16:15. It's a very peculiar text. There are other similar parallel passages, but I like this passage because it says very specifically, not go and preach to everybody in the world geographically. It says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And when I looked the passage up to find out what it was saying in the original language, I'm a languages nerd. I'd like to dive deep into that. The word world that's used there is kosmos in the Greek for the world order or system. And some of us as believers were taught, I was taught when I first became a Christian, you don't get involved in the world. You avoid it because the world is the devil's territory.
Yes.
And Jesus is here saying, go into the whole world order or world system, and preach the gospel, the good news, to every, and it says, it's translated creature, but the word in the Greek is ktisis, translated creature, does mean every living thing, but it also means every structure, or every institution, or every ordinance, any product of creative effort that's occurred in the world. Every product of creative activity, every arena we move in, and every result of what we do as humans, we're supposed to preach, proclaim the gospel to. The word is even used in reference to the founding of cities. Ktisis is. So literally, Jesus is recorded here as saying, go out into the midst of the world system and bring the good news of my reign into every place, every social structure, every institution, every act of creativity. He doesn't say to every person in every structure. He obviously wants us to reach every person, but he's targeting the structures themselves. And he's indicating that we need to preach or proclaim and demonstrate his influence and transforming power for how we do family, how we do business, how we do education, how we do our leisure and our art and our entertainment, how we present truth in media, how we do law and government, everything. So, whatever our area of influence, our area of activity, our area of creative involvement in life is, we have a place to exercise kingdom influence, to exercise godly direction. But if we keep reading in that passage, Jesus goes on to say that because of this, some will believe and some will not. But people will be reached. And he says that certain signs are going to follow as we undertake this. Signs of the power and protection of the Holy Spirit. If we read the whole passage, he says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They'll place their hands on sick people, and they'll get well. Now, I don't think he's recommending we pick up snakes.
No, I don't think so.
Or that we voluntarily drink poison. But when circumstances come along, when attacks are leveled against us, they won't succeed. There's an instance where Paul is bitten by a snake and he doesn't die. When there are assassination attempts, they won't succeed. In my name, they will drive out demons. In social structures?
I would think so. I was thinking of Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pattern, a structure, a system that this world engages in that is not a heavenly system, but a demonic system. Now, what do you think? Do you think that Jesus was challenging his disciples to actually take on the work of the kingdom of hell by sending them out here?
I think specifically and very pointedly he did so. In another passage where he and his disciples are wandering around this city that was built specifically by the Romans in Israel. It's this pinnacle of Roman influence. It's Caesarea Philippi. He and his disciples are wandering around the streets of Caesarea Philippi, and they're talking about the events of the day and the conversations that are taking place in the public square. And Jesus says, in conversation with the disciples, he says, you know, who are the people saying is the Messiah? Who do people say the Son of Man is? Who's the latest candidate? Is it the prophet? You know, there was a character in some of the literature that was circulating at the time called the prophet. There was the teacher of righteousness who showed up in other literature at the time. Who do you say? And it comes down to Peter finally coming to the realization that it's you. Because he says, who do the people say? And then he says, who do you say the Son of Man is? And Peter comes to this realization. He says, you. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says some very interesting things to Peter at that point. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. God has. I say to you, you are Petros. You are a little rock. A pebble. And prophetically, there are some interesting things that happen with pebbles in Scripture. Peter and the disciples are familiar with Scripture. David picked up 5 smooth stones and took out the giant. He picked up 5 because Goliath had 4 brothers. He wasn't afraid of missing. He wasn't stocking up on ammo. Took 1 smooth stone to take down the giant. In Daniel's vision, he sees this vision of empires, head of gold, chest of silver, I think, and then feet of bronze and clay. And there is, in that vision, a little rock that's carved out of a mountain that's cast at it, and it brings down the empires. The empires come down because of a small stone. Jesus, in this conversation, says to Peter, you are a little rock. But I say to you, upon this Petra, he uses a different word, this rock, this giant rock. And his disciples knew several days' journey south of them, there was this fortress that was on the trade route that was carved into a rock mountain. It was a city-state all its own, and its name was Petra. And he says to them, upon this Petra, this rock, this city carved in a mountain of rock, I will build my ecclesia, my called out people, my congregation. And it was a term that they knew because it referred to the congregation of Israel. And at the same time, the ecclesia referred to the gathering of the elders at the gates to make determination for what the direction of the city was going to be. And he says something even more peculiar. On this rock I will build my ecclesia, my called out people, and the gates of hell will not prevail against them. So it's a roundabout way of answering your question, but yes, I believe Jesus really did intend for his people to go after the gates of hell. Now, gates don't attack. Gates are portals. So what are the gateways by which hell exerts influence on the city? And how do we, as believers, exercise our influence in each of those contexts? It's interesting that the city gates in the Middle East at that time were places often where the synagogue met. If there wasn't a synagogue building, the elders met there. They were places of religious gathering. They were places where the elders gathered to make legal decisions. They were places of government and law.
They were legal gatherings, even
yes.
Outside of a religious context as well.
Yes.
Deals were made, contracts were signed.
Yeah, there were places where business was conducted. There were places often where entertainment took place. There were places where information was exchanged. News was exchanged from neighboring regions. So the gates were the places where influence and interaction took place that was formative for the life of the city. And Jesus was saying, all of these places where the enemy exerts influence will not be able to prevail against my people.
So when the Lord is saying in Mark 16, go into all the systems of the world, go and bring the good news of the kingdom of God to every structure, he is saying, you're not going with weakness, you're going with strength. You're not going ill-equipped, you're going with every tool you will need. You're not going without weapons into battle, you're going with the most superior weapons. You're not going with destructive power, you're going with love, you're going with joy, with freedom, with peace, and the strength to break down systems that have no idea what the beauty of heaven is like. A representative of the kingdom of heaven goes with all the blessings of heaven. I love how the Apostle Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. God doesn't hold anything back. He doesn't send out his team half-equipped. We have the best equipment, the best words, the best freedom, best joy, the best love possible. And there is nothing that can stop the people of God from influencing for the kingdom of heaven. it is impossible to not influence. I was at an event this morning, and I didn't think I had much impact. I was in a situation that was very normal. At the end of this event, I asked if I could pray, and I prayed. And that prayer shifted the atmosphere and had a profound impact. The situation shifted, and people began to speak clearly and without any slander. I wasn't doing anything special. I wasn't acting anything special. I didn't have a leadership role, and people weren't enamored by me in any way. But the kingdom of God had an influence, and lives were affected just by me showing up. I'm no more special than anybody else in our listening audience. We're all like this. We all carry with us the presence of the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
I think we can see in very quiet and subtle ways at times. Other times, in very overt and distinct ways, these types of signs that Jesus is talking about in the Mark passage, Mark 16, he says these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. Yes, there are demonic forces that move in people's lives for their destruction. There are also demonic forces becoming more and more evident in very blatant ways in business, in the way some people conduct business, some corporations conduct business, in the influence that business has. Some businesses, some governments, some departments of government, some media outlets, some forms of media, the message that comes through in some forms of media is clearly demonic. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. The gift of tongues in the beginning of the book of Acts was to be able to speak in languages that the people listening understood. We may go into these environments and have influence because we've learned to translate into the language that they're speaking. They don't understand Christianese. Sometimes we don't understand from denomination to denomination. The version of Christianese that we're talking. We need to be able to speak the language that the people that are listening speak. They'll put their hands on the sick, and they will get well. We don't have to invite them to a healing service at church. Those who are soul sick, those who are physically sick, we can have an influence and get our hands on them, get close. Get involved, and people will get well in any of these environments. In the motorcycle club that we ride in the company we work for, the PTA, the bank, whatever environment we have some influence in. We don't, I think, expect enough of the Spirit of God moving through us. We still tend to read about these signs will follow and expressions of the power and presence of God, and we think, well, that was back then. But these signs of healing and signs of wholeness are demonstrations of the presence of God's kingdom here and now. And he not only is calling us to speak and live the good news in every aspect of life, but I think he's calling us to be demonstration projects of his kingdom here and now. Outposts.
and to live as communities of believers in a way that we can then point to and say, this thing that we're talking about, that's what it looks like. And when we begin to demonstrate the kingdom in that way, it becomes a winsome example of what it means to be the people of God.
So, John, I think the Lord gave you a powerful message for today. And I think our listeners are waiting and listening and ready. I think this message today was delivered in a gentle spirit with a flavor of the way the Holy Spirit works in us. He always waits for us to join Him, and He's right there to walk alongside us. And I think today there is a soul who expects God to be harsh and expects God to condemn him or push him around because he's not doing enough. But today, we want you to know that the Lord is gentle. He meets you where you're at. He celebrates any engagement that you give him. He floods into you with a measure that is commensurate with your need and your desire, and he even gives you more. And he is ready to bless you with his presence today. So, Lord, I ask that you would bring an anointing upon our listeners. They are saying yes to you, God, and they are saying they are ready to step into a place of influence. They are ready to stand with the devil under their feet. They're ready to not be swayed to the left or to the right. And they are ready to move, but they cannot go alone. So as they step, Lord Jesus, as one foot comes in front of the other, I ask for a flooding of presence, a flooding of tools and equipment, a surge of courage mixed with grace, with love that drives away fear, with joy that dispels darkness and makes it a yesterday event. Would you, Lord Jesus, bring the movement of heaven for the steps that are being taken from this point forward? In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. You've been listening to Everywhere, a Kingdom Conversation with DJ Swanger and Dave Huizinga. This and other episodes of Marketplace Kingdom are available for free online listening, download, and non-commercial redistribution under a 2017 Creative Commons copyright. Our other free resources, video, audio, and print, are available for free download at our global ministry website, sevenmountainalliance.webs.com. That's sevenmountainalliance.webs.com. Costs for our ministry activities and podcast are covered by the generous support of listeners just like you. For information on how you can sponsor a podcast or donate to our work, or to find out how you can have one of us as a speaker for your organization or event, email us at empowermentfriends@gmail.com. And if you want to catch up or binge listen to past episodes, they can still be accessed at onerockstrategics.podomatic.com. And be sure to share Marketplace Kingdom with your friends. You can also follow us on our Facebook pages, Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. If you're a Twitter user, you can follow our activity by going to @DJSwanger, and you can join the conversation at #OneRockTribe. That's all for today. So until next time,
I'm DJ Swanger.
I'm Dave Huizinga.
Thanks for listening. Remember, you are important to Jesus and to His kingdom, right where you are.